So then all of these fellows then got...
Don't say Dr. Larry.
He was not a wealthy man when he died.
Well,
he
said
he became wealthy.
No, no, I mean after. I mean after the depression, they got...
After the depression, he salvaged property, but...
He was wealthy when he went into the...
Banking.
Into banking, so, yeah.
Yeah, but then after the crash...
After the crash.
Like I say, these men had to lose all their cash because they were back of the depositors.
My father lost his money.
Because I know my grandmother could never, when I take her uptown, and my husband was with Wards then for 25 years, and we would go into the store, you know, and then we'd ride home with Jack, and she'd say, Marcella, every time I come in here, I could cry. I left my insides for this building for your grandfather to have his name on a golden plaque in a bank building, you know, they threw everything they had, I suppose, into it, all his cash
and everything,
you know, and she worked hard, you know, in the saloons when the kids were small,
that the bank was going
and
to
she
go
would
down
worked
never
hard,
said nothing to nobody.
And then he lost all everything, you know, in the banking, plus their homes, everything they had,
Jesus,
went.
I even remember the day that he went down that he was called. I remember because he called me because I was living upstairs, and he called me downstairs. He said, Ida, and Drew, he said, come on downstairs and take care of the store. He said, and he took his little coupe and away he went. And that's when he come back, that's when he closed the bank. But he never said a word to nobody. Huh? Nobody, nobody, nobody.
Well, Ma always tells the story that she had insurance. Hey, Ma, you had money in that bank, your father's
money,
bank.
I know, for $100-some. Yeah. We all had money there.
And you had to pay $99 in, insurance for Daddy through Detroit. You had to go down Detroit or something. So she made out like a bank draft, you know. One day, and the next day the bank closed. And so when they got the the bank draft, it was no good. So she was out that 99. So she's giving her father hell. She said, why didn't you tell us? At least we'd have taken the money out.
No, he kept everything secret.
And he never ever spoke a word. Of course, he maybe, who knew? The crash happened overnight, you know, Black Friday, right?
Yeah.
1929. Who knew when the crash came? Certainly wouldn't let his daughter, who had a few $1,000 there in those days in a bank, let her lose money if he knew the bank was going to close, right?
So then they took about a year before they could get a little interest out of it, you know. And when they saw, I think Frankie and Johnny and my brother had maybe $100 in there. I didn't have any because I didn't have no money. And when they saw them down there, then the people, you know, they were talking. They were saying, oh, don't worry about Mr. Valenti. He must have told his family that the bank was going down. The kids, they got, and they saw them down. They said, oh, they said, yeah. They said, Valenti couldn't have said anything to the family. They got stuck, too. That's how secret my father was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't. And my father lost a lot of money giving people, you know, signing
credit,
notes, you know, for this
one
and that one. Even doctors, but they're dead. The doctors are dead, too.
Paid back.
He was good, signing notes for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got stuck.
And he said, I was a spoiled one, see, I'm the first one. We come from school and it's on the way to the school, you know, the store was, see. So I can picture him, because, schools, we only went to maybe fifth grade up here, right? So I was, 10, 8, 9, something
grade.
Like that.
Seventh grade.
A lot of friends. I had a lot of friends because they were at the grocery store. Each, we're all hungry when we come from school. So I go in, all the gangs stay outside. My grandfather's desk was in the back of the building, you know, way back. He'd be sitting back there at the desk. I know, no. Cookie, what you call, you know, on the slant, those cookie, glass cookie things. I remember there was chocolate ones. They were the expensive ones, the chocolate with the cherry on top full of marshmallow. I used to wear dresses, girls didn't wear pants. The dress came up like this, the cookie thing come down, all filled with cookies. Out the door, pass them all out. Then I'd come in and he'd be hollering and he'd come from the back because they had these big glass covers over the cheese, and the big knives were there.
Oh.
You know, when you sell the cheese, you cut a piece off and put it on a scale. But I was so fast, you know, by the time he got back there, I already had the glass off and the knives, maybe a pound, you know, was gone. As much as I could go through them big wheels, then run out the door and break off the pieces, you know.
Oh,
and the cracker
cheese.
Barrels and everything. I had loads of friends, boy, when I went to school. Then we beg them. Then I say, no, we didn't have ice cream. You know, and old man Caesar, we had two candy shops. That's Jeannie Carollo, the Carollo brothers.
Grandfather
that left everything to these boys, their parents. That's how they got started. And the grandparents were divorced. So the grandma had the candy shop right up by Olivas. Right there, there's an empty lot there. Right on Main, on Vulcan Street. Up by Olivas store, right there. Those schools were all there, see. And then right next to Cini's now, Cini's Market, which would have been kitty corner for my grandfather's store, was the little shop, the old man Caesar. It was a little guy, he had a bell on a door.
The old man Caesar.
Why did we skin him? He had his little bell, you know, on the door so he could hear. And he had a cot and that in the back, you know, because they were separated. He just lived in here. Maybe he had those wooden ice cream things, two containers of ice cream, just to make ice cream cones.
Oh.
And candy showcase. And all penny candy. You go in there and you got 10 Nigger Babies, I remember, for a penny. Those little corns, 10 for a penny. And, well, some 5 for a penny, you know, everything was a penny in those days. So then I got a hightailer after school over to my grandpa's because it was a long way to Grand Boulevard. You know, the family home when we lived there. So I waited till he closed the store. I stayed till school, you know, with him, and then we went home together. And he drove me in the morning to school, so I never had a walk. Well, then I say, no, I want a nickel. I want to go over to this. I want to see how fast you can bring it over to old man Caesar, you know, because he had to watch me cross. You know, there was traffic in those days like it is now on that corner by Bimbo. But run over there, old man Caesar. Well, anyway, I had the money, so I always had a bunch of kids with me. So then we went one end of the counter to the other, see. Poor old man, he was old in those days. He had those little spectacles on. And go down there and he said, well, one penny, what are these? Put 10 on top. Then go way down the other end, I can't make up my mind. 10 of these. In between, the kids were all in there waiting for me. So while they were here, they were scarfing these. While we were there, they were scarfing those. Come on, everybody had candy. He couldn't figure in those years. And that's why they followed me, because they knew they were going to get free candy. Candy.
And he had so much money, and in his kitchen, this poor little old man, he had rusty pans. When he passed away, when they went in his kitchen, he was cooking in rusty pans.
That's
all the money that he had.
And the mother up there, I remember they had a slot machine. You put a penny in it, and it shot out gumballs. And the actual slot machine, you know, with the cherries and that, you used to pull a handle, and the gumballs used to come out. But it was in the form of a slot machine. And we all want to play a slot machine, you know.
You remember?
Yeah. One little gumball.
A paralyzed arm?
With a big, big hand.
Big blocking your leg?
Yeah. We used to go down there and buy the candy.
Yeah. You know, Spring Eagle where Sparrow's.
Nobody could swear like that.
Okay.
Oh, he could swear.
Yeah.
Also. The bar that's upstairs was the bar that was downstairs at one time. It was all underground, blind pick.
Yeah.
Knocked on the door, looked through the trap, you know, and let you in. So, naturally, Sunday, my grandfather always got in his big machine, and he'd take off to go up and see his friend, Mr. Sparrow, have a few. So my grandmother would send me with him. You know.
He was sick one time.
She'd go with your grandpa.
In the hospital?
Yeah. Italian
community. He was swearing.
Watch your grandpa.
Oh, they used to perfect. Sit you know, it's just like running water. He'd swear all the time. Never said the same thing.
And all the men would congregate there.
I was talking, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He'd sit me up in the corner of the bar.
Yeah, well.
And Mr. Sparrow used to give me handful of pennies, because it was... Then the round
I think Italian nurse there or something.
And
somebody at that.
And all the men used to give me money.
This one.
And that's the same bar that's
run away.
Upstairs now. It was it's run by a grandson.
She ran away.
Upstairs. Yeah, Sparrow. It's Sparrow. It's still Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Sparrow and my grandfather were intertwined years ago. But they were very good friends. They were business people.
Oh,
and I remember those days. And they used to let us in, you know, it was underground, like, you know, there was a flat top. They parked their car, then you went down towards the lake, and you went in on the side, but you remember that.
Where?
Sparrow's original, when it was the little basement by the lake.
Brigal?
Yeah, the original Sparrow's, when it was a blind pig.
You don't remember old man Smocker, though?
No,
no.
And I remember she would go down to Poor Farm, you used to call it the Poor Farm.
Oh, that's...
That's where the Arma, what's the Rancho Motel now?
Yeah, that's
the Rancho Motel in the north side of Fort. Well, see, close to where we lived on Grand Boulevard, and we used to go down there.
Yeah, Rancho.
It was a poor farm.
But this is
they call it poor farm. You know, people lived there. They didn't have any other place to go.
Yeah,
remember that big guy who used to have that big elk?
Joe Corn.
Yeah. Joe Corn had money, but he was in the poor farm. And he always used to give us kids nickels.
Oh,
he liked kids. He never ever married.
He used to run it. He wasn't in there. according to us.
He used to run it.
He used to run it.
Sure.
That's right. Yes, right. He used to run it. Because he was always dressed in a nice suit. And
that that smell in that place.
Yeah, it was horrible. These kids run in there, you know, and he liked kids, and he always give us money. Yeah.
But old man Smaka down there, he had a little store down by Chickies, you know, down where Chickies is, you know, down by Brutomiso there.
Main Street?
Main Street, yeah.
From Romagnoli.
Yeah.
And the De Prado brothers. You probably hear Jim and Bimbo Constantini.
No, but wait a minute. Let's.
He had a little candy store. And he had this little man. He was a little short man. He had a big hand.
Paralyzed, you know.
He was paralyzed, but his hand was
like
so big.
Like a big boxing glove.
Smaka, we used to call him, Smaka. And we'd go down there with a penny. And he said, with a penny. And he was selling candy that they, you know, was just like those there candy that you pull, you know. Those
stretchy candy.
Yeah, taffy candy. And there used to be a penny in some of them, you know. That's a chance you were taking.
Oh.
You know, you buy one of them there, maybe it was a penny or maybe it wasn't a penny. And like he said, and all he'd do was swear. Oh, that man, every word. He said he was in the hospital.
He could swear. You're perfect.
Just tell him about the hospital.
He got sick once, you know. And he was in the hospital. Well, the minute he got in there, things were wrong, you know. The food was wrong, everything was wrong for him. And he starts swearing.
He swore every word, you know.
Steady. You know, steady starts swearing. His doctor never come out. The man over there, he's crazy or something. I don't know. He's talking something. So they got some Italian going there, you know. A nurse or somewhere, some woman. She got in there and he didn't start. He just kept on. She ran away. She couldn't stop.
She went away. She couldn't stop. He was swearing, you know.
Swearing, he was calling her down. Oh, Christ. He had a vocabulary, perfect vocabulary, right from the devil.
Yeah, you know, he'd swear. Like Mario, you know, he would swear that you wouldn't even think where you'd get him, you know.
Now, was he swearing in Italian or English?
Italian.
Oh, I see, and they didn't understand him, so they sent this Italian nurse in.
Well, sure.
And then she left
she
because
took off.
She was...
She ran away.
She couldn't stand.
She understood, all right.
All he was saying.
Yeah, she understood.
She didn't say it.
He was calling her down, too.
Yeah.
He was calling her down, too.
Oh, Smaka.
Now, you mentioned earlier, we didn't catch that. You said you belonged to a St. Agnes Society?
Oh, yeah, that was when we were
what kids. What
was that? A little church
thing for the kids?
Just for kids, yeah, just for kids.
And the Italian kids.
Oh, and then we used to have, at the Regina Allen Club there. Oh, yes, gee, we used to have big shows there. We used to have, like, stage shows that Mary Gaudio was our leader, and we would go down to our building to practice down the pizza oven. We'd go there. Yeah, we gave a nice show on that. You know how long that is ago? That's 61 years ago, because Lorraine was just a baby. And I went in there to see this show, and I had the baby with me. And she happened to have whooping cough. And I remember that Mrs. Antonelli, you know, Phyllis's grandmother, she took the baby away from me because I got scared, you know. And she was a big fan. She took the baby out, and she went right outside. It was a beautiful, beautiful show. That Mary Gaudio, she was a good pianist. She could play the piano real nice. And all of us, we'd go down.
And she used to, I rented from her.
She was an organist for my church for over 50 years.
Was an interpreter, too.
And then,
She was an interpreter, people that came from Italy. She taught them English. And
she was the only child.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
She was a Gaudio. That was a real prominent
family in our...
That was the, who was the founder of that? Carmen?
Carmen, what was his name? The Izzos, their cousins to the Izzos.
Carmen Izzo.
Carmen,
and Tommy Izzo, that was coach up there.
Yeah.
Really
their cousins, they were cousins. That's a really
okay,
good
then, yeah.
family.
Then I know.
Yeah, and she never married this girl, and she was a perfect, she was so.
And her father had business downstairs, which is St. George Glass over there.
Oh.
It isn't St. George now, right?
This is Gaudio.
Gaudio was building, because I went to upstairs.
And the mother would stay in the store all the time, the little old lady, she stayed. And him, the old man, she would take him because he couldn't walk and he couldn't even talk, you know, but he'd like to gamble. And he would go over to where Bimbo's is today, over to Baldrica's. They had the Croce and Baldrica saloon there, because we were on one side of the street, there was our saloon, and they had the saloon on the other side, Baldrica and Croce. You remember them?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this poor little old lady, she used to take him over about 1 o'clock. She would lead him, walk way over to take him over to the place, the tavern, and gamble. And then at 9 o'clock at night, then she'd go over, you'd see this poor little old Indian go over and get him to take him back. He was no drinker, you know, but he liked to gamble. And this Mary, the boys were just crazy about her. She was beautiful, but they'd all listen, you know, they'd whistle at her, but she would never, and her mother stopped her from getting married. Her mother always thought that this man that was after wasn't good enough for her Mary. She was too jealous of that daughter. She wanted her. And then Joe Bogrica, you remember, we'd see him go over there, but she never married. When she died, and she was pretty good, she used to sleep in linen beddings.
Very high class.
Very high class. She had everything silver. Everything was
gorgeous,
silver.
Gorgeous, things that were taken.
Everything
and the
was
end
silver.
Because yeah. I was in the next apartment. Her, she was half, and I was the other half. Beautiful apartment with even step-down dining.
And then, you know,
first married.
Yes, and then she was a big gambler. She gambled.
She gambled everything away.
She went.
On the end, in her old age there, she was selling all the antique silverware and all these beautiful goblets and all the linens from Italy that she had.
Then she was borrowing money. She borrowed from my brother. She went to my brother, Frank, to borrow money. She wanted to go to Minnesota. She went even up to Minnesota to ask Uncle Rusty for money because she was down and out, but she had that to break. She wanted to gamble.
She wanted to win it all back, I guess.
She couldn't stop.
She couldn't stop gambling. And then we went to the Riverside one day. We were to the Riverside, Marcella. And you remember when we'd go up there for dinner with Nona? My mother always liked to go to Riverside on Monday nights. No matter if hell came over, my mother had to go. And then they had all the slot machines there. All the slot machines. And Mary would be there. So one night, Katie knows that, if she went and she got the quarter machine, she got the whole thing came down. Well, her purse. And we helped her. Me and my sister helped her put the money in. You know what she did? She went back to the same machine and she started putting quarters in that same machine. We said, Mary, go to another machine. Don't start putting the quarters in that empty one. Oh, she was a real, real nice lady.
I remember people that used to come up when I was in the apartment. That was
a pretty girl.
And my husband first came out of World War II, 45. I was in 45. And that was more or less towards the end there. In fact, she sold the building right under us. We had to
Was the later years then.
Yeah, 45, 1945.
So by this time, she was up in years.
Yeah, she was up in years.
Oh, yeah, she was up.
I remember her. I remember her down through years when I was little, but I remember her the last years up there.
And do you know she was buried like a pauper? She didn't even have a nice casket. She was buried
nothing
like a pauper.
Nothing, yeah.
Nothing.
Wound up
she
with nothing. She had no family
yeah.
after. See, everybody was gone.
Now, was she the only daughter?
She was
the only child.
Of the Gaudio, sir.
The Gaudio family.
But her mother, she had a lot of boyfriends, but her mother always thought that
I remember
she was never good enough for her Mary.
Yeah.
No, and Mary always listened to her mother.
Very highly educated.
Very, very close to the parents.
Nice person.
Yeah,
now, she was in charge of the St. Agnes Society?
No, she was in charge of this play that we used to have.
Oh, in charge of the play.
Yeah,
now, were these plays that the children put on?
No, they're young girls.
Teenagers.
Yeah, teenagers in there. We were teenagers.
And were they in Italian or English?
Oh, yeah, from our church, from our parish.
Italian.
To raise money for the church when they rebuilt.
Then we used to give it back to church.
Yeah, but, I mean, they gave them in the Italian language.
No,
the plays,
in English.
We'd
have it in English.
Now what were some of the names of the plays, you remember?
Aunt Eva, remember, because she used to sing your sister.
Yeah, my sister Eva used to play the piano.
She used to
play
those plays for the piano.
So this
we used to have our
little
costumes on, you know, and we have plays.
So the St. Agnes Society was more of a teenager.
Yeah, just a few young
girls. And
girls
or boys?
Girls, no, just girls.
Just girls. So most of the societies and clubs and so on connected with the church were women or girls.
All the time, yeah.
There weren't any.
No, they were never mixed, never. Mm-mm.
But there weren't any for the men or boys or anything.
No, the boys never did seem to do anything. The men never did anything. It was always the ladies, always the girls.
Mm-hmm.
The men never, I don't remember of having.
Those
well, then later
Dimone,
years
those
they had.
Those little
Dimone you know,
were out getting into mischief.
Later years they had.
Send the girls to this.
They still got it now. What's the men's lodge that they got over the church?
I remember the time that we got drunk.
Holy
wound
name.
Up on a church step.
That's all. Just the holy name.
Yeah.
That's all.
Six,
they got
7 years old. A friend down here coming from the school, just one block off the school, her mother had died. Her name was Chili. Remember when the mother died? of eating sausage. You know, yes, fresh sausage, you know, Italian sausage, and somehow it was contaminated. And almost wiped the family out. They have a new daughter. And the father were very ill. But the mother died. Beautiful. She was young. So then the father was trying to raise the girl himself.
But I should have taken it in, you know. You mentioned sausage. I got a little bit of sausage in the car. You poisoned it for you.
Anyway, so on our way from school, naturally, this is a place to go where there's no mother, no supervision, right? So he worked at Ford Motor. Used to call him Pretty Boy. Her father, remember, handsome man, short man. So we were home from school fooling around the house. Her daughter, me, and another girlfriend. And he used to, his friends would come after Ford Plant at 3:30, and they'd drink wine like this around the table. But we'd get at the wine before they came. Then he'd say to her, Anna, go down and fill the decanter, you know, that they had on the for the wine. So we have to go down then with the hose.
Almost 4:30, 20 after.
You know, we have a hose in the barrel, right? Sometimes you don't get enough, you know, by the time you get down in the thing. No wine. So, but you got a couple, you're drinking a couple more. You try.
Some company, but
you try. You know, we kept trying. Well, then he always
you
gave us
a glass. Some, but
he said it was
know.
Good for you.
Know, yeah.
So we had
to
drink, you know, drink a wine. One time we never made it. My aunts lived right behind the church. And instead of go up Vulcan all the way and then up, if we cut through the churchyard and that, and cut through the next block yard, we came to her house. But we only got as far as the church steps. It was a hot spring. I'll never forget that. Were we sick sitting on those steps? I remember that, yeah. One vomiting, the other one vomiting. We couldn't make it to go that two blocks cutting through.
Well, I could tell you a better one.
The preschool.
We used to go over to Marjolina, the guy that had the one leg. You know,
yeah, Pat.
Yeah, one leg.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Okay.
Pat.
Oh, the bean soup we had over there. I never got on an inch. Her husband, she didn't even stop. We'd go over to him. It was over there by on Miller Street over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the poor old guy, you know, he wanted a bunch of women, you know, all my mother's gang in there. So, you know, we thought bean soup was a treat, you know. And she'd make the bean soup and then she'd put it in a big pan. How, you know, just a plate and a spoon, that's all we'd have. And then he'd spike the drinks, can you imagine? He'd put the whiskey in the wine, and us, we would drink with that soup, you know, we'd drink the wine, too. And when we passed Angie's house, Angie, I said, hey, Angie, you better, you know, this is your house. You better go in here. I said, I'm going home.
So you don't think... I'm going to follow
you guys home, because we lived way up on the boulevard, my mother, too, no? And she said, no. And her husband saw her, Boots, he saw her pass, he saw us all passing. And he said, oh, yeah, he said, she don't want to come in. But he said, I'm going to lock the door now, he said, and then she can't come in. So then when she went back home, we were singing all the way up, and my mother would say, Angie, don't sing so loud, she said. Father Johnny will hear you. Oh, I'm a good friend to Father Johnny, she said. That's okay, she said. When she got back to the house, she couldn't get in. So she went around, and she went to the pantry. You know, she had a little window in the pantry. She knocked the screen down, she said, and went through this window, and she said, it was all potatoes, all the potatoes under there, she said. So she said, I fell over the potatoes. She said, potatoes all over. The next morning, she said, Boots, you know. He said, hey, Archie must have had a big head, no? He said, come on, you got to put a pill. He said, make breakfast. So she went down. And he said, and don't dare to go back up that bed either. He said, you stay right down here. She said, I was afraid, she said, he would come back. So she said, I waited till he got way down to catch the bus.
I think the women years ago.
We used to have a lot of fun.
You know, they did a lot of these things on the sly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
our
had more fun than they have today.
We're married to Italian men, but
mm-hmm.
you know, we're the new breed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not that young.
But the older women still did things, though. But
we did things, but...
They still did it, but they did it on the sneak. You know, we were more.
And we had no men. We never had no men with us. We always with
the
women.
I remember my grandma saying they would walk way down Turi's farm and sing.
Yeah,
hey,
they'd
have big polenta feeds, and you know,
all the women.
A farm
did.
Like Aurora.
Yeah.
You know, Aurora.
We'd take the bus and we'd go down there, just women again.
Yeah,
and
you know, in groups. And I said, you know, you,
talking my grandma Zira. She had a group of friends, even in her latter years there before she died. I would drive her. They had, I don't know how they could eat, you know what I mean? Because they're telling us not to eat like that nowadays. They'd have big feeds, chicken, polenta, gnocchi, and they work, and these women were all in their late 70s.
Sure.
And they'd gamble and then eat this stuff late at night. I never heard them say, we're sick with this or that. They all lived to be in the
80s. And always late hours. Never was
late hours, no much sleep,
hours.
You know, and work.
They were hard. They used to wash clothes
and
wash the floor on their knees. They were hard. They were tough.
Yeah.
Tough. Cholesterol.
And then they would
go,
but then they would also have little gambling sessions, too.
Oh, yeah.
We really gambled.
Oh, sure.
And then Mr. Sparrow always came with the booze, but everybody had booze in their houses because they all made it, you know.
Yeah, but...
You didn't see too many drunks, you know what I mean? Look at your brothers. They never drank.
My brothers
they come from
drank.
Saloons. They never drank
no.
at all.
I have
period.
Two brothers, not one drink. Mm-hmm.
And I was raised, there was no milk. Milk was a luxury. Wasn't it as much money as it was in the house. There was not milk unless you used for cooking. This is what I had to drink.
But we used to gamble
wine.
For candies, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, at our meals. I was just a little kid. My grandfather filled a glass. He had company. We drank the grappa, you know, with the cherries in. My grandma's friends come.
Yeah.
They put the cherries in that and brandy in that, and she had beautiful glasses, you know. And we got it. It was not like, no, ooh, don't give your child a, you
mm-hmm.
know. We never turned out alcoholics. I went to a party the other night, and I had water, all water in a cocktail glass with an olive in it to pretend. That's how much I hate that stuff. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
it didn't hurt us by having it in the house. And now, you know, there's a new trend
mm-hmm.
with children. You know, they say it's because the parents are drinking or the parents go to cocktail. Hell, we had it in the house. We were forced to drink it, even if we didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was good for you. Drink the wine. You have to drink
it. There was a flu around, you know, when there was a flu.
You know, now it's a whole new ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
Even my own grandchildren.
They want garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to see this. And I think, well, we were raised with it. We helped make it. You know, when they crushed the grapes
mm-hmm.
and everything. Yeah. I don't see all these men drink, but you don't see them like the younger men of today. They gotta get smashed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, you were brought up with it.
No.
Brought
drinks.
Up with it.
My mother never touched liquor.
What?
My mother
no,
never touched liquor, and she was behind the bar with my father. And she never
well,
touched it.
She never drank even in her old years.
Never.
No,
she
wouldn't.
She was. In, she ran. I mean, she helped with the saloon. Did she ever have trouble with the? The customers? Did they ever have
no,
a little too
no,
much and
no, no,
try to
no,
start fights or something?
No.
They respect.
There was always, my father had a certain bunch of customers, you know, in the morning and in the night. Always had a nice bunch. In fact, this guy that was fighting with him took his head and stuck it. My father had to take him out, and you know, but otherwise, no big
mm-hmm.
fights, no. And it was all a bunch
there's
of
no
sweets.
Women in the saloon either.
And no ladies.
Yeah,
no ladies. In
the they respected the woman who was the owner,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you would
no
say, behind the bar. But
and no swearing, no.
If they
did,
they used to come and rush the pail of beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'd
the
stay outside, and my father would give them the pail of beer, and they'd go.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have family rooms, though, didn't they, in the back?
Huh?
Some places have family rooms in the back.
Oh, yeah, they had family, but not for ladies.
For ladies, yeah.
Yeah,
not
so.
No, not
we weren't allowed to put our feet in the saloon.
We never went in the saloon.
Oh,
my
no.
brothers never went in the saloon.
We never went in the saloon.
Well, and this, your father made a...
This my father made
this
a
was his rule, that you didn't...
Then my father, after later years...
They weren't allowed. No women were allowed in saloons.
No women were
allowed.
No. This is what I got to charge
they were
out,
allowed,
if you
but they never
here.
Came.
And
they
I just noticed that, as I told you. Homemade grape wine, a specialty. He sold it. So that was before prohibition, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not allowed to have homemade wine now, let alone sell it. You can make a barrel for your own use,
yeah, you
but you can't sell it.
No.
See, he sold it. Homemade grape wine was a specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Could sell
yeah.
it.
Big,
could sell
big
it in the homes.
In the basement.
They were
three
selling
of them,
it.
Big ones, you know, round vats.
Back.
They used to have the wine in.
Remember when you used to squeeze all that grape?
Yeah. And
all
push
singing.
It around, eh? Boom, around.
No,
that's when they made the wine, but the vats where they kept the wine.
Dancing, my aunt. We used to have an orchestra that used to come down. Caddy's Elks, remember that? And the brothers played in the orchestra, and then they'd come from practice or a dance job and all come downstairs and drink wine and eat the salami and cheese and everything. And
oh.
I was 8 years
Tennessee. That would be my very youngest sister. She was 8 years older than I was.
And then after the little years,
all her teenage friends used to have in the house, but everything was in a home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, bring all your friends, eat and drink.
Mm-hmm.
The Italian customs. They still do though, the Italians, eh? I mean, more or less.
Not too much.
The old timers do yet. Yeah. They still have.
The old timers, yeah, they do it in heaven or in hell.
Yeah,
well,
years
they're
all dead.
No, there's a lot of them. Geez, my mother's 82, going on 83. She's going on 82.
Ain't too many. I didn't count them.
Well, there are still active families, I would say, you know, that you go on holidays, or we're always together on holidays.
Now, were there, do we have time here?
We have nothing to do.
Okay. I gotta go and check on my wife.
Her wife's got a sick wife.
She was allergic to metal, but she didn't know it at that time. So some lady said to her, why don't you go out in the fields and get some herbs, you know, certain kinds.
Jimmy, he's a herb man.
All right, so listen. So, okay, I said, let's go. So we took a few bushels. I took about 3-4 bushels. So then we went over behind the lake. Listen, we went over behind the lake, and it was raining like hell that day, you know, raining. But I said, we'll go anyway. So we picked up our bushel after bushel after bushel. They said that she'd have to steep it just like
tea. I drank that, boil it and drink it. They said, boil it and drink it.
Yes, but then when we came home, she did it once. She said, I can't drink that stuff.
I can't drink that junk.
She said, it was bitter? It was too bitter, no?
Yeah, it was bitter, sure.
What's the one that Donna used to make, Ruda, with the brandy?
What?
It was called Ruda when you...
Ruda.
Huh? Ruda. You must know.
Ruda.
Remember when bitter. We used to get it?
Ruda, R-U-E.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? She used to cook it up, and then it went in. She always had it, a jar down underneath her sink. And if we had indigestion, you had to drink all. It was like tar.
Did you ever hear about the water?
The caterpillar?
Remember that?
To keep the little babies from choking.
And mixed up on it, and then if we had a
plantain.
Throat.
That's plantain.
Is that what it is?
Well, we're
we should put it on there.
Yeah.
When my little girl was just a baby, my oldest one, she's 61. So she had the worms were bothering her, you know, the little body. So my mother-in-law, you know, Grandma Galette, she was an old French woman, and she believed in all that kind of stuff, you know. So she said, you know what you should do? She said, get a caterpillar, she said, you know, one of them caterpillars, you know, and put it in a thimble.
Oh, dear.
In a thimble that you sew, you know. And then you put it in a little cloth, she said, wrap it up good and sew it around so the caterpillar won't come out. And then put it around her little neck, you know, put it around the neck. She said, that keeps the worms from coming up to her, because the worms can choke her, a little baby, you know. The little worms can come up in their stomach and they can choke them. So I said, hey, but Grandma, I said, I don't know if I can do that. I said, you know, put a worm around her neck, I said. But I did it, and kept them down.
We had to use a bean, maybe you did, but the bean. The only outhouse we had at first was up at Moon Lake at the cottage. Remember we had the outhouse? And I had warts. Like you never knew. And my grandma tried to teach me how to do lace, you know, make lace. This hand right here. And you go up and down with a fine needle. I couldn't learn because the needle would hit these warts and then they'd bleed. My grandma said, we gotta get rid of them. So you gotta take a bean and you gotta rub it on the wart. And then she had something she said, some words she said. And I had to take the bean and bring it up in the outhouse. And when the bean rotted in the outhouse, the warts were gone. And the warts were gone. And I lost my wart.
And this is another one.
What kind of a bean was it? A hard
bean?
A regular bean.
You know, from like a, you know,
kidney bean.
Kidney bean or a bean. You know,
yeah.
They used to buy bags for when they make the
beans. Dry beans.
A bean. Put it on a wart.
And the wart
and
went away.
Yeah, and she'd say.
She'd break it open?
No, just the bean itself. Whole bean. You got to run
it
on the wart back and forth. And when I did that, she said something in Italian. Some kind of prayer, you know, or something. And then I had to take the bean up to the outhouse and throw it down in the hole. And then when the bean, I suppose, disintegrated or what, by the
and
time
you threw
the
it
bean,
down in the hole.
In the hole, down in, you know, in the hole. And then your warts went away.
Look at your mother with the sulfur.
Wait a minute. What was your grandmother's name now?
Mr. Valenti.
What, first name?
Louisa.
Louisa.
Okay.
Louisa. Valenti.
Can you remember all that?
Okay. What's going in here?
It's on the tape.
Oh, is that thing going?
Yeah. We don't have to worry about remembering.
Yeah.
Now, what was the thing you were
about sulfur?
No.
When she had that trouble with that itching stuff there that she had, my brother John was a fireman, and he came home and he said, "You know, Katie," he said, "a guy told me down there in the fire hall. He said, you gotta swallow little bullets, sulfur, little sulfur bullets." So when John came home, he said, "Katie, you wanna try it? Huh? You did, didn't you?"
Gunpowder, was it?
She said
she wouldn't even take aspirin.
She said, "I can't take that." She said she wouldn't take it. But they said that was the cure of that itch was sulfur. So there's something to that too.
Gunpowder too, then.
Huh?
Gunpowder, black powder.
And you with the warts?
Well, you know what they used to do? They used to make us eat the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had the sore throat, they used to put a sock on your father's sock around your neck.
Right from the feet, though, you know.
Yeah, you know, a sock that they took off.
Right from the feet.
Dirty one.
Yeah, a dirty one.
That was for sore throat.
That I'll tell you one. Shouldn't tell you. My hands were almost rotted off from a nerve condition. My son was in the hospital for a whole year. I spent a year in my truck with him every day, drive here and go and come home and work all night long, go back. Anyway, when he got home, then the nerves started, you know, but my hands started, and they start rotting away, just the bottom. You could see the bone. Doctors every 3-4 days, different prescriptions and everything.
My dad, then you got to get up.
You know what? Your own urine is what cures everything.
Now, who said this?
My grandma was living.
Grandmother, okay.
My grandma says, what? She said, yeah, when you have to go to the bathroom, she said, your hands, you know, in the bowl and tinkle them. And she said, your own urine is a healer. What all the prescriptions from the doctors and everything, nothing healed, you better breathe it. And I'd be in there during that, couldn't sleep, you know, the tremendous itch, and I'd be all bandaged up. I'd take the bandages off, go in the bathroom, I'd probably pass out because, you know, when that urine hit those open holes. I know how many doctors I went to. Even a specialist came up from Green Bay. I thought my hands were gone. They were down to the bones.
Mm.
Never out here. All the inside, you can see that, you know, the skin is.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Just bored right in, whatever it was. I don't know. But that was another old remedy of theirs. The auntie, and then they used to wash the babies. They'd say the skin, you know, if you want your babies to have nice skin. And when you were nursing your babies, I nursed my son. We used to wash their face, when they get done nursing, you know, we squirt them with the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the milk would be over their little faces, and we'd have a, you know, clean white diaper, and wipe their little faces with the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Which today, high-class cosmetics are milk-based, milk bath, you know, and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're using
cream-based.
A lot of milk with
See, they had their own
formulas.
Now, did they ever do this with this thing with bathing the babies in wine?
I never heard that.
Ever do that here? Yes, they did. They did it in the old country. I don't think they brought that over. And then they had midwives. There were women that were midwives.
Oh, yeah. Here too. I don't think any of the first babies here.
I had two children by midwife. Not my
even
son.
You had them.
I had two, Marjorie Lorraine, both of them.
Not me.
At home, I never went to a hospital. I had two children. I had them home.
Now, how long did the midwives, were they active? You know, did they do this till about?
No, the law came out. Then there was a law after where you could not. You had to have a doctor present.
Not
or
at
you
that
had
time.
To, no, but after, like he's saying, when the hospital came in, then they had to have, you had to be checked by a doctor. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I was taken care of better by a midwife than I was by a doctor.
Well, used to say in those days, right, Auntie, that you hear Nona say, that was the only relief, and the men really respected the woman when they had a child. Now, our young girls come out of a hospital in 3 days after you have a child, and they're already home taking care of the other kids and washing and everything. Where in those days, for 40 days, they did nothing. And no matter how poor you were, if there wasn't some member of the family, the man always got a lady. Hey, these ladies used to go out and work and come in and took care of the family for 40 days. A woman never did anything.
I was
That I hear, remember the old lady thing.
I was in bed for 12 days, and she used to come 3 times a day to see me, to take care of me, 3 times a day. And it was only $10 to do little baby things, $10.
So this wasn't just the birth, but it was also the time
for
after.
40 days after the birth. And this was, the woman
she
was considered. No, like I said, but the man always hired somebody, they said, or if it wasn't some member of the family, the 40 days after.
Hey,
what's the matter? Oh, she sees my husband.
What's the matter?
To our place, Channing. Yeah, they said, well, I remember when I had Terry, I'm way after you. Some woman convened the purse after 10 days, you know, on a slab. They don't even let you walk. And then I had to go to bed for 2 weeks when I got home.
Here's your husband.
How long did they use midwives then? About to what year, you think?
Well, I had her 61 years ago, so she was midwife long before that.
Mm-hmm. She knew when did he finish up.
What? When did they stop
they kind
using
of cut it off.
Women didn't.
The older was that last one, no?
Well, yeah. Now, the older ones, their last children. You're waning on. You had Dr.
No,
Winning, which would be 48 years.
Yeah, I'd say about 49, 40 years. I never heard of a golden anymore after Winnie.
Yeah. About 40 years.
About 48 years ago.
48 years, yeah.
They had doctor then. My mother, too, had doctor. My brother's 13 years younger than I am.
So that was as late as 1935?
Yeah. They were still practicing.
Yeah.
I know Mrs. Powell used to go.
But then after the younger generation came in, they didn't want a midwife. They wanted to go doctor. Then they used to take them to the hospital, you know.
Well, I remember. Now, Terry, my son is 40, going to be 41. And you were not allowed to have. We had, and it was wartime just before the war, because in 42, he was born in 42. And my girlfriend had her child, and our hospital was filled, the old hospital, you know, didn't have too big a ward up in the yard. She had to go to Norway. You know, they would not allow you to have a child in the house. You had to go to hospital then.
Not in my days.
I'm saying when we had our kids,
yeah,
you know,
later,
40,
that's what I said, later years.
Before the war, you were not allowed to have a child, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the house. You had to go. The doctors wouldn't come to the house. For my mother, for my brother, these boys that are 48,
no.
They start having doctors, but they came to the house and they stayed with you. They just stayed all night. They drank coffee or whatever. Both babies are born early morning. Hey, Matt, the doctor stayed right there. They don't do that now.
Mm-hmm. Where have you been?
The doctor comes
what
to the house.
What about my camp? No, my
now,
camp.
Who are some of the
got
women?
The water
bones of women.
I had my truck up there. I got my
Mrs.
Powell.
Mrs.
Powell.
What's her first name?
And years, or I'll tell you.
And,
oh, my God. This is about 65 years ago. Mrs. Brackett. Katie, Mrs. Brackett was a midwife, too, hey?
Yeah.
Remember Mrs. Brackett?
Was Grandma Pearson?
That's what he wants to know.
Ma, was Grandma Pearson a midwife, too?
Because
she worked in the hospitals, I know.
Grandma Tramontine.
Yeah,
Grandma
their grandmother, Tramontine, was a midwife.
Now, how do you spell that?
Tramontine.
And first name, like Brackett.
Lucy.
No, Mrs. Brackett, he said.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
She had a nice name.
Talking about the Brackett that lived on Stevenson Avenue?
No, Brackett.
Next to Bruno.
No, there was a Brackett that used to go out with my aunt.
Yeah.
They used
and
to
how
go
about
around with my aunt.
That's
there.
The one. That's the one. But I can't remember.
Is
you know her? She had a nice name.
Kathleen?
She had a nice name. Mrs.
How about Mrs. Massa? She used to go to?
No. Massa? Oh, I don't know about her.
Now, how about this Tramontine?
Their grandma.
Lucy,
and that's
T-R-A-M-O-N-T-I-N.
Okay, she was one.
That was their grandma.
And Paoli?
Paoli, yeah.
Paoli. P-O-L-I.
That's her grandson that owns the tavern.
Paoli.
And that was, what was her first name?
Mrs. Paoli's name.
Hey, what was the Kumari's name?
It's
the first
Kumari.
Name.
Ma.
Alice.
This is
Alice. So those were some of the women.
Yeah.
She's in that picture you have that you showed of all them ladies with the banner, with the white thing. My mother said when you showed at our...
that's the Italian
Women's Club.
My mother
and that's her, my grandma's in that, and Mrs. Paoli is in that picture. Because I remember seeing it up the cottage. I was wondering how you got it or where you got it, because we have one.
Do you have the original?
No.
I had, we had to be original.
I don't know where you got that picture.
That was from, that was just from the book, from that centennial history.
But we had one.
I'd like to find the original.
We had the original one. And what we can't figure out, at our cottage, we had a trunk of pictures. Great big trunk. Up to latter years, I would say, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Then the young people come in, remodeled, fixed everything. And all our pictures went. Whoever come in there, the pictures are all gone. And that was pictures.
Everybody's
all these lodges, you know, place.
Somebody didn't know who they were.
Yeah, it's
that's what I tried to get you on this past week. I called up so many people to see if they had. Now, Javobri might have some, you know, that just died. Was our friend, who's next to us at the cottage. His wife lives there alone, but she's out of town. I did call her. And he used to bring them up to Spin's Tavern to the men. My husband goes up to Spin. No, but pictures from years ago from the lodge meetings over Miners Hall, all the men, and from the old taverns and all that. And every now and then he'd bring some up, you know, he knew the men from his father. And they were in business because they had the original bakery up there, which is Schinderly's Bakery. His father.
Croce's.
No, Javobri.
Oh.
Javobri. So, and he was what? Jim was what, 85 when he died?
Oh, yeah.
He died last year, or more, 87. And I bet you, and he used to come up with pictures every so often for the men, you know. And I said, I'll bet you Linnea's got him up the cottage, unless in this, and this past year that he died.
Hey,
he's a little bit younger than he was.
Gasparo, what are you doing?
So I tried to
glass?
Get him. I said, bet you Linnea.
No, I don't want him.
Well, you know,
huh?
Next to us at the cottage. And
what do you mean you don't want? You don't tell me that when I come to your house, you don't want nothing.
But now it's special.
Maybe the young man don't want to know.
No, I'm okay. No, no, I have enough here.
Can I read it?
Thanks.
Read what?
Okay, well, let's
just
that's all we can tell
you. No, what do they do with
the grass? The dandelions. You have to eat them every spring to purify. They grow all over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The regular dandelions. And they cook them up, boil them, make the pastiche with them in oil, or else you put use them for salad, vinegar and oil.
What do you
that's
use? The flowers or the
no, the green.
The,
you know,
the green,
green ones. They're all green. Well, I'll get you one that doesn't mean
you know, red dandelion?
Oh,
no.
That's to purify your blood, and every spring we had to eat them. Now it's dandelion time. You have to have a good water, rainfall though, right, Al, first? You know,
yeah,
to
dandelions
the sand
and
off,
eggs.
And then you put eggs in them.
Mix your pork.
Hard boiled eggs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
does it.
Spark, too. I didn't want to tell you that. You feed them to your husband every day. Hey, Jack? Now you gotta start getting the eggs in the and the dandelion. Then we cut out your wine, because I'm gonna feed your dandelion, you can't have no more wine.
Oh, that beautiful day out there. Oh, Lake Christ out there. Really beautiful.
No. I think you must have made the bars up there.
Nope.
You didn't go up there.
We had a hamburger each. Marvin had a Pepsi. Yeah. And have lunch.
Yeah, well, sure.
We ate lunch at 2 o'clock.
At my cabin yet.
And
did you get water?
Huh? I got the water.
Hooray!
But we got the furnace. I got to call. I got to bring the. I called up. I got to bring the keys down. I got to have a serviceman for that furnace. Kenny couldn't light it. Marvin couldn't light it. It's got to be dirty. You know, they got to clean it out.
And maybe from the leaves from that circle outside.
No. Inside the furnace, dust and that.